Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free DC. Absolutely. And we're glad to be back on the air live. Actually, we can take your phone calls if you wish to call in. You are welcome to discuss anything that might be on your mind tonight, anything that might be resonating between the tuning fork of the synapses of your brain. But the phone number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And, okay, so how you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing mighty fine, mighty fine. Considering. But, yeah, I mean, everything that's going on is just amazing, you know. I mean, it's like, where do we start? Where do we begin? This election cycle is like the most exciting I think I've ever seen. Got my attention.
Most suspenseful, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I paid more attention to this one. I wonder where I was all the other election cycles. It was like, I think God has done that. I actually think that God has got a lot of people paying attention to this one for a reason. I think there's a very good reason.
Wow, anyway. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, that's actually a great segue into just something that I read earlier today that I wanted to share for a few minutes. And it's in regards to the election. And I'm not going to go through all the minutiae of this prophetic word that Terry Bennett shared. But, you know, he's not the only one. I mean, you know, there was the prophetic word that you brought up a couple of broadcasts ago. I think it was two broadcasts ago.
But the thing,
yeah, exactly. But there were two components of this that I wanted to share with everyone tonight. And the first part of it was that, and, you know, it's like we've also said on the broadcast, as we've talked about on a couple different broadcasts, where prophetic words have to be judged. You know, we don't advocate just believing everything that you hear. You know, we know that mm-hmm. in the scriptures, Paul admonished the Corinthian believers, where he said, "Let the prophets speak by two or three, and let the others judge." So right. Prophecies do have to be judged, but. Terry had this prophetic word that he got back in, I think it was 2001, where the Lord showed him that there would be seven-year periods that would eventually lead to the revealing of the Antichrist. And he said that the first seven-year period would be economic trouble. The second mm-hmm. would be governmental trouble, and the third would be the rise of a one-world religion. And, mm-hmm. you know, he got that word back in 2001, and, well, you know, he, without going into all the timelines of what he shares, 08, you know, was a financial shaking. He said that then 7 years later would come a governmental shakeup. And so this is where we're right in that, on the cusp of that governmental shakeup, or what could be, which then segues into the second thing that I was going to share, which was also from something that Terry said recently, where he, in so many words, and I'll condense what he says here, he says that he does firmly believe that it would be God's will to use Donald Trump as a Cyrus. For those of you who aren't familiar with what we're talking about, you know, if you go back into the Hebrew scriptures, commonly called the Old Testament, and you read in the scriptures about Israel's captivity when Israel was taken away to Babylon, eventually the Persian Empire conquered the Babylonian Empire, and Cyrus was the king of Persia. And so even before Cyrus became king, God gave Isaiah a prophetic word that he would raise up a king named Cyrus, who he would anoint.
400 years.
Yes. So this was spoken well in advance, and that Cyrus would be used mightily by God to bring Israel back into the land. And it happened just as God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. And so we've talked on this show about how Donald Trump could be, it could be God's will to use him as like a Cyrus. You know, Cyrus was a pagan. You know, he was, Cyrus grew up like, grew up worshiping other gods. But when God tapped him on the shoulder and began to move on him, he yielded. But here's the important point. This is why I'm bringing this up. What Terry said in this word was, he said, while he firmly believes that it would be God's will to use Trump as a Cyrus, it must be matched by our, that is, those of us that are believers, that's all of us in this country that are believers, by our willingness as God's people to awaken and be unified in prayer regarding this. Because if we, if the church in America, that would be the body of believers, stays in their present state of slumber and just remains in this kind of ho-hum, unintentional, whatever happens, happens, then it's highly likely that Hillary Clinton is going to win the election, and that, you know, that God only knows the disastrous judgment that this would bring on our nation. Now, let me say one more thing, that in going, this is going back to the prophetic word that God gave Terry Bennett back in 2001. And oh, by the way, if you read Terry's prophecy that he got from the Lord, very similar to John Paul Jackson's, very similar. But one of the things that Terry Bennett said in this prophetic word was, he said that in the governmental shakeup, it would be so bad in the United States, there would be so much chaos and anarchy that the military would have to intervene, and because of the corruption in the federal government, and that there would be a period of time where that the country would basically be governed by the states, because the federal government will just be in a free fall. And
the sheriffs, remember, he said that they would be very instrumental as well.
Yeah, and if you look at what has been going on, you know, we, in the last broadcast, we talked about, you know, it's one scandal after another. You're getting the details on one, and you're hardly through all the details on one scandal, and then there's another one that comes out, and then another one, which, oh, by the way, was also part of what John Paul Jackson shared would happen, but that God would uncover a lot of this corruption. So, but, you know, here's the thing, is that we can't rest on our laurels, so to speak, and say, oh, well, you know, even if everything goes to pot, everything goes to hell in a handbasket, oh, well, somehow or another, you know, God will intervene and the military will intervene. The point of me bringing all this up is that I want to exhort and challenge all of us to be in our prayer closets and to be praying for this election. And I mean being very intentional and very passionate in prayer about it.
Yeah, and, you know, not to put anybody under condemnation, but some of you have been being awakened at odd hours. 3, 4, 5, some of you believers out there. And, you know, this is oftentimes, this is not a suddenly acquired case of insomnia, but it is God waking you up to intercede.
Amen.
In the quiet hours of the morning. And I know some of you have jobs and you have responsibilities and you have things that require you to be awake and alert. So, again, this is not, and never to be taken as condemnation, but this is an opportunity. This is to be seen as an opportunity, a get to do, not a have to do, But it's also very important, and there's a reason why God is waking some of you up, because you're called to be intercessors and to pray for our nation, to pray for the state of the things that are going on in the world right now.
Amen. Amen. Well said, my brother. Well said.
But, yeah, thanks for sharing that, Steve. I guess we're going to go to break right now. Broadcast engineer, could you go to song list item number 3? This is from This Millennium, the immortal Bob Dylan.
A worried man with a worried mind. No one in front of me and nothing behind. There's a woman on my lap and she's drinking champagne. Got white skin, got assassin's eyes. I'm looking up into the sapphire tinted skies. I'm wild dressed, waiting on the last train. Standing on the gallows with my...
Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a Bob Dylan song there. That was, I always loved that song for reasons that just very nostalgic. But, you know, Bob Dylan, he came out with Slow Train Coming right about the same time I got born again, which was 1979, October 79. And wouldn't you know, one of my favorite artists got saved, born again, and came out with a Christian album. And that just really, really takes me back. It's very, very sentimental and nostalgic and reminiscent of that time when I was first freshly raised up in Christ, a brand new creation. And everything was so fresh and vibrant and alive. And whereas before I was going nowhere fast, and it was very dark and very depressing, and I didn't know where I was going. But yeah, what a difference. And then the watching Bob Dylan go through the, all that, everything he went through. Then he started, it seemed like he came out with a Shot of Love, another album that followed Slow Train Coming. And Shot of Love was, pretty good. It had a lot of, you know, backups and cool type of, soul, background music. And then, but then he kind of started showing up on stage, you know, drunk or stoned or whatever, and they didn't know which Bob Dylan they were going to get for a while there, even after his conversion, I'm talking about. And then, so I was watching one night, I was watching the, I wanted to say Olympics, not the Olympics, it was the Grammy Awards, and Bob Dylan got one for his song, this was the year 2000 and early 2000s. And you could tell by the audience's expression, the celebrities that were sitting there and, you know, at the Grammy, you know how the Grammy Awards go. And, they looked sort of pensive, like a little bit anxious, like, uh-oh, which Bob Dylan are we going to get? Are we going to get the drunk, you know, in your face, Bob Dylan, if you don't like it, shove it, Bob Dylan, or are we going to get the good Bob Dylan? And it was a live feed from Australia. He was on tour over there. So he couldn't be there in person. So anyway, they put the live feed in, and he did that song. You could see the relief on the audience's faces. they were like, oh, good. We got the good Bob Dylan. But anyway, yeah, it was very awesome. It was a great show. And he did that song, Things Have Changed, which was also very, I thought, a very salient song because things had changed. It was post 9/11. And so it was interesting. But Steve, you were talking about things have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the 60s. The times they are a changing. And now it was like the 2000 and whatever. Things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
But the Terry Bennett revelation, like you were saying, we have to weigh these things out. I mean, one of the things Terry said in his vision was that, the first period one was economic trouble. And he said that the value of the dollar was going to, what did he say? By 2015, we would have a different currency, which, that didn't happen. 2015 mm-hmm. came and went, and we don't have a different currency. However, we have a problematic currency. By 2015, we're still not recovered from the 2008 recession mm-hmm. and the subprime mortgages and the bundled high-risk mortgages, loans that were made, and they were supposedly backed by Freddie Mac and, Sally Mae and Freddie Mae, Sally Mac or whatever. But yeah, it's just like they sold them, they put them in bundles, these high risk, loans for housing. Everyone should have a house, so they, even the ones that were very high risk were given loans, and then they were sold in bundles, and that's what the subprime mortgage Ponzi scheme was all about. They were sold to offshore investors, and then when each of the mortgage holders, each of the people that were loaned the money began to default on their loans, they started to call in and say, hey, what's going on? Do we have backup? Do we have... These were Freddie Mac and Sally Mae backed up, right? And no, you're on your own. All sales are final. And so that's what caused, a domino effect and affected our economy greatly. I had real estate that went upside down in 2008. And so we never really recovered. Our economy has not recovered. This has been the longest recovery there has ever been, even longer than post Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to judge the prophecies, and of course we have to also take into effect that people are praying, saints are praying, God is intervening. Jesus told us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So evidently, if we take that for on the surface value, it's things are not being done on earth as they are in heaven. God's perfect will is accomplished in heaven, but it is not always accomplished here on earth. There is a devil, and there is human will that can interfere, cause delays, and cause things to change. And so what we have right now is a situation where it looks like God has provided us with Osiris, so to speak, in a manner of speaking. Okay, we're not saying exactly Cyrus, because I've actually had people comment and say, well, Cyrus was actually a pantheist, and he didn't last very long, and what he did was we're not saying Donald Trump is exactly Cyrus. We're saying it's a type of a Cyrus, and that God is using this this man, this some consider of low character. Some don't. I don't know how they reason this, but they say that he is of a lower character than Hillary Clinton, when we don't have any record of Donald Trump ever breaking the law. We don't have any criminal record for Donald Trump. We do, however, have plenty of criminal record for Hillary Clinton and the scandals that the Clintons have been involved with even dating back to the 90s.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, another important thing about the Terry Bennett vision, his period three revelation, he says Antichrist will come under the guise of a combination of the three God religions. Conversely, he will come saying anyone who is of those religions is exclusive and must be open to all religions, including Satanism and atheism. All one-God religions will be seen as exclusive and divisive and blamable for all the world's problems. Although, I mean, I agree that he will deceive many at first by some means and later declare himself to be God Almighty and to be worshipped by all. But, I mean, let's be clear. To follow the Antichrist, you will have to do, one of the things you'll have to do is take the number, which will be, it has to be synonymous with denying God and swearing allegiance to the Antichrist. And somehow that would be without repentance. You know, the only way for us to go to hell for us to have our names blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. We know that's the only sin that will not be forgiven. So it will be a willful rejection of Christ, or a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that continues, unrepented of. You know, and it's like the Word of God says by the prophets, I forget where, it might be Jeremiah, but it says, repent, you mockers, lest your bands be made strong. Bands being made strong means like steel bands, like bondage. And he's saying, repent, those of you that are mocking God, or your bondages that you're caught up in now will be made so strong that you can't get out of them. Similar to what Paul says to the Romans when he talks to the issue of the depravity, being given over from one level of depravity to another. Mm-hmm. So it says, because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to deeper and deeper levels of depravity. Because while they knew him to be God, it says that they all knew God through the creation. They knew God through, they knew the Creator through his creation, but they became vain in their imaginations and their evil hearts were darkened. You know, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And, gave themselves over, you know, God gave them over, but they were also given over already. They were already given over, so they were stepping willfully out from under God's protective grace, and they did not glorify him as God. Neither were they thankful, but, you know, they became vain in their imaginations. So anyway, what do you think about all that, Stu?
Man, you know, that's just so powerful. You know, I was just thinking about what this is, something that I've thought a lot about over the past year. And this is right in line with what you were just saying, and that there is so much deception in our culture and in our society now. What I mean is this, you know, first of all, there's always been, you know, since, Adam and Eve fell in the garden, there's always been deception, there's always been evil, but what we see happening in our culture is lying and deceiving and moral relativism is on a rampage. It's more acceptable to lie and to deceive now than it's ever been. And here's the problem, you know, if you break it down along political lines, there's a lot of people on the left and even some now people on the right that are more libertarian that have the attitude, don't lecture me, don't you know, we don't want to hear your sanctimonious lectures about right and wrong. Well, there's a problem with that. And here's the problem, is that as a society crumbles and falls apart and goes deeper and deeper into moral depravity, what happens is that if you can't tell the difference between right and wrong, what goes hand in hand with that is not being able to tell when you're being lied to. And what do we see now? But we see millions and millions of Americans, they're being lied to blatantly, and they're just lapping it up. You know, I recently have been thinking about how that it is shocking to me that Hillary Clinton could have even the poll numbers that she does now. You know, these polls are a bit skewed. You know, we were hearing from the mainstream news media, oh, you know, Trump's 50 points down. I'm exaggerating, but he's 10 points down. But what is shocking to me is that Hillary Clinton even has the poll number she does. And, you know, in other words, that this election, you know, I would be very surprised if it was a landslide for Trump. I just would be. Because I think there's a lot of people out there, and they don't, what I'm getting at is that we've lost our way as a culture. We don't have a moral compass anymore. And so that's why I say this fits hand in glove with what you just quoted from Romans. Hand in glove. Yeah. And so, and how this ties into the whole Terry Bennett thing is that, you know, the thing about judging prophecy is that we see through a glass darkly. Paul said that in Corinthians. And what we have to understand is that sometimes God will give prophetic people a prophetic revelation. And it's not usually the case that it's so set in stone, take it to the bank, this is what's going to happen. This is what will happen if my people don't pray. And you alluded to that, brother, when you said, well, you know, certainly it could be the case that we have averted that this financial turmoil that we've been in as a country could have been far worse if God's people hadn't prayed. But what I do believe is that when I look at the word that he got and I compare it to what John Paul Jackson got and other prophetic people, that I see this perfect storm of financial, of political, of religious, like it's like a perfect storm. You know, it's all these things coalescing together, and it's setting the stage for what will eventually be a one world government. How that all actually plays out is hard to say, you know, but I do think that it's important for us to recognize, for us as believers, to recognize the times in which we live and really use this to motivate us, as I said earlier, as we've been saying on our show here, that we need to, you know, spend time with the Lord in prayer. You know, of course, fellowshipping with him, enjoying his presence. You know, that's the greatest part about prayer, by the way. It's not a drudgery. You know, we as believers, as followers of the Messiah, as followers of Jesus, you know, God wants us to enjoy his presence. But there's another part of it, and you alluded to this. This is what you said a few minutes ago, that we have also a part to play where that God wants to use us in the earth. And it's not to put condemnation on anyone, you know, to, oh, well, you know, you claim that you're a follower of Jesus and you're not praying. Not about that. But it is about God wanting us to recognize the times that we're in and to take action. That action that we take is an action that comes through our relationship with him.
Yeah, so good. And, you know, I mean, I understand the viewpoint that, everything is going to happen is going to happen. It's already been, you're not going to forestall. I mean, the times and the seasons are already you know, in the Father's will and in his plan. Yeah, I understand that. I don't necessarily agree with it in the way that it's being applied by these people that are saying this. But the get to do, the thrill and the awesomeness is that we are co-laborers together with him. We get to share so that when we stand at the Bema seat of Christ, we are actually going to have some things that are just wood, hay, and stubble. They're going to be burned. But the things that are solid, the things that are of precious stones, jewels, and the things that we cooperated with the Holy Spirit in doing, performing in the earth, and the way that we have availed ourselves through prayer and through our actions, through Holy Spirit-led activity, those are the things that are going to withstand the fires of the Bema Seat. And the Bema Seat is just the judgment seat of Christ for all Christians. We will stand before him to be judged for the deeds done in the body. Again, there's no condemnation because he's going to dry every tear. I mean, we're going to some people are going to see tremendous loss. They're going to see everything that they've worked for. You know, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Everything Amen. That they've worked for, everything that they built, everything that they devoted their energies to in this lifetime will be burned up. You're burnt to a crisp by the Bema Seat of Christ unless they have cooperated with the Holy Spirit and have, you know, attended to the Lord, you know, and as much as possible without distraction, been able to attend to the Lord and you know, be in, place yourself in alignment with what his will is for right now in the earth. And I can tell you, whatever it is, it's love. I mean, there's a tendency for us on either side, those of the, we become polarized politically to say, oh, I can't stand those Democrats. I mean, Democrats, you know, or whatever, because of the party bosses and the way that they deceive and the way that they have rigged elections, etc. There's a tendency to become hateful. And I mean, there is a place for that even in prayer. Like David said, I hate them with a holy hatred. You know, those that mock God, those that oppose his will in the earth. Yeah, there's a place for all that, but keep ourselves in the love of God. You know, we need to keep ourselves in the love of God because that's where the power is. Perfect love casts out fear. And I think a lot of this comes out of fear. I think a lot of it is fear-based. A lot of the political opposition, the extreme cases of political opposition. Debate is healthy. Debate is good. We need to discuss things and be able to talk and have a conversation without being at each other's throats. So, children, behave yourselves. And, Doug, could we go to soundtrack number 7? This is a great song, and I think encapsulates what we're trying to say. Michael Franti, Say Hey.
Come on, selector.
Hey, you want to catch a good contractor? Check these guys out. Cap Enterprises, LLC. Now, these are the guys I call on when I really need something done, and done right, and done in a hurry. They're licensed, they're insured, and they're professionals. So, have them come to your project, whatever it may be, whether it's commercial or residential, and they will get the job done right. They'll do it according to code. They'll do it with all, they'll pull the permits. They'll take care of all the dirty work for you. Give them a call, 703-980-1632. These are really good guys. Cap Enterprises, LLC. Listen, anytime I get into a bind, or if I need something done and I need it done right, I invite these guys over to take a look and give me an estimate. I always consider them because they're the best. They're the best available locally. So, yeah. Hey, hold it down out there. I'm trying to conduct a commercial for crying out. So check them out. Cap Enterprises, LLC. They're located on the web. CapArtCo.com. That's CAPArtCo.com. Or give them a call, 703-980-1632. Tell them I sent you. And get out there and catch a good contractor. Celebrity Voices Impersonated.
Yeah, I tell you what, Steve. You know, I was on the radio show just not too long ago, and I had to walk off. I got a little bit upset about some of the questions that were being presented to me in such a manner as I felt they were disrespectful.
Well, Mr. President, good journalism would require that we not show favoritism. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, you know, I feel your pain, but everybody has to get out there and, you know, smell the flowers and, you know, just kind of enjoy the things that God has given us, and without fear of condemnation from the vast right-wing conspiracy.
Well, now, Mr. President, smell the flowers. Wow. You know, I tell you what, on this show, on Radio Free DC, we show the utmost restraint and respect towards our guests, so I'm not going to go there, okay? I promise.
Well, hey,
that.
You know, I totally understand.
But Mr. President, you know, at the same time, we can't show favoritism. I mean, you know, yeah, there's no condemnation, but you know what the rest of that verse says? You know what that entirety of that verse says? Can you quote it?
There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, I think it says.
Who walk not right after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yeah, but that's implied, brother. That's implied. That's in italics.
But Mr. President, then it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, there's a difference between really and out of an honest heart seeking the Lord and seeking to walk in the Spirit with, keep in step with the Holy Spirit and follow Jesus, as opposed to indulging in the flesh.
Yeah, but God causes all things to work together for the good, so it doesn't matter, really, what we do or how we fail or fall.
Well,
God,
Mr. President,
still takes it.
Well, you know what Jesus said? You know, he said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons and perform many wonderful works in your name? And then you know what the next thing was that Jesus said?
What?
He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That's pretty tough talk, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you know, that depends on what the meaning of the word iniquity is.
Man.
Hey, we're just trying to get into the theology of these guys, you know. I mean, we're trying to understand. We're trying really hard.
Well, you know, I one thing I do have to say, though, brother, I really appreciate what you shared before we went to the break. Love, mm-hmm. You know. And there is a way of being able to speak the word of truth in love. You know, the scripture says, speak the truth in love. And so there really a way of being able to do that. Because ultimately, you know, if people would just read the whole third chapter of John, you know, everybody knows John 3:16. He's seen it a million times at football games on signs. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. But if you go on to read the rest of that chapter, man, so powerful, because Jesus makes it very clear. He says, this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, but men love their darkness, and they won't come to the light. You know,
they refuse to come to the light.
Mm-hmm. They hate it, and they won't come to it, lest their evil deeds would be exposed. And, you know, so, we're in a situation right now in this political run-up to the election where it's like I said earlier, and I've said on other shows, just when one scandal, you're getting the details on one scandal, then you're hit with another one. And then another one, you know. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that in our holding politicians accountable, you know, in our doing so, we have to make sure that we're doing it in such a way where we're in the love of God and that it's not our own vengeance, because scriptures say that the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we're running out of time here, but Steve, I just wanted to commend you for what you just shared. Mercy and justice are two aspects of God's character. And there's a scripture in Jude that says, keep yourselves in the love of God, praying in the Holy Ghost. And on some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, despising even the garment spotted by the flesh. And what that means is that we need to have the mind of Christ in the way that we reach out to others, in the way we share with others, in the way we evaluate whether or not to even get into it with others. Because some people are in the place of receptivity. They want to know the truth. They're freaking out about this election, and they really want to know what is going on. And there's others that are just bound, and their bands have been made strong, and they don't want to change. They refuse to change, and they refuse to be affected, even if it's the Holy Spirit that's affecting them.
So well said, man. So well said, Jamie. And you know, I'm thinking of a good example of that. Is this guy? This was several months ago, but he's a Princeton or Harvard professor who claims that the culture wars are over and that liberals have won, which is a lie. That's not true. But then he goes on to compare, in so many words, Christians to Nazis and brutal imperial Japan. You know, and these are the people that fall into that category, what you just said. They're hell-bent on evil. I mean, and if you read this article that this guy wrote, this professor, it's so mind-blowing. It's so manipulative and so twisted, you know, the things that this guy says. But, you know, that is emblematic of what you just said, that there are a lot of people like that now in this country, but Jesus calls us, in our holding them accountable and speaking the truth and love to them, to turn the other cheek where the personal offense comes in, but to not relent in speaking the truth to them.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Speak the truth in love. Broadcast engineer Douglas, let's go out with number 11. And this is one thing that we all have in common. Everybody has in common. Everybody.
One, two, three, four. We're so glad to see so many of you lovely people here tonight. would especially like to welcome all the representatives of Illinois' law enforcement community who have chosen to join us here in the Palace Hotel Ballroom at this time. We certainly hope you all enjoy the show. And remember, people, that no matter who you are and what you do to live, thrive, and survive, there's still some things that make us all the same. You.
Hey, yeah, you. Hey, if you want to help out and keep us going live every other Monday night, we'd like to go every Monday night, and then we'd like to go every hour, every day, and then every hour, and then you know what I'm talking about. Go to our website. Our website is located at bbsradio.com/radiofreeDC, and there'll be a little yellow donate button, and you can actually donate and help us out with this movement, keep it moving, keep it grooving, and we really would appreciate it. We're trying to go to be able to broadcast more often. We do have overhead, we do have expenses. And so anything that you can do to help us out, we would greatly appreciate it. And anyway, so God bless you all. We love you, and have a great week, 2 weeks. We'll see you whenever the second week falls, next Monday.
Yes,
after next Monday.
God bless, and remember,
adios, amigo.
Always Radio Free DC.
That's right.